In Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Hesm. It says Ephesus, but that is the feeling I have. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My thoughts were scattered. They came together to one conclusion. And if all goes well, it will likely not be what we'd rather hear. Some cases, but please have mercy on me and the lack of my words to apply them properly try to discern what the Christ-like motive is. That is what my goal is. And the topic is temptation and sin. Where does that separate? We've been taught years over the years from parents, ministers, friends, it is not wrong to run into temptation. Can someone separate that? I will leave that question open. Where does that stop and start into sin? Amen. And we'll take Jesus for an example right at the start. He was tempted three times in Matthew 4. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And it's in this book here. Every word. Now, the question that really churned in my mind, Jesus, he was God, but he was also man, flesh and blood. And when the tempter came to him, he said, or that's maybe not quite as clear as the next one. He was taken up into a mountain. Was he physically taken up into a mountain? Or was that a mind entertaining thing that till Jesus all of a sudden caught on what was going on?
Is this on? Oh, good. All right. If this was only in the mind, if this only was a vision in his mind that he was moved over to the temple, or if he was over on the mount, and then he was tempted to jump off, or if he was tempted to do something like that only in his mind, and he resisted that, then how often do we see imagined things that jump all around, all over, and if he just in the mind resisted the temptation to jump off in his mind, if that was only in the mind, we see pictures, we see movies that are unreal, and then we should definitely resist that if that's what it was.
I get the impression he was physically taken up into the mountain and tempted. So, and I think we come into both categories sometime in life. I guess to put myself to a little bit at ease and still try and bring out a point, how we are so tempted in small things, I'll tell a little story. I was invited for a meal, and we had exceptional good food, or for my belly, and I took my share, what was offered, and then I went for the second helping without invitation, and my belly still was not satisfied. And then one of the children had a piece. The hosts were gone. They were doing their duties about their position. And one of the children was gone too and left a piece of this excellent food. I reached over and took it. And, of course, the housewife was there, and she noticed there was something going on, and I had to quickly confess what I did. And then in the process of that time, the host was gone, and he had a half a piece there on his plate, and he was gone, and even the housewife was gone, I believe. Then when he came back, I told him I was tempted to take that too. And but I didn't. And then what he said was, "Oh, you want some more? You're more than welcome." I told him, no, absolute lie, because my belly wanted some more. And then I left it. It was just a minor thing. It was almost humorous. But after a day or two after, I thought about that incident. What was I craving? What instigated that situation? And I ask you to come up with any biblical... I know I sinned different things. And I ask you to come up with phrases of the Bible, maybe not necessarily exact word for word, where I was wrong. I was definitely wrong in different areas when I thought over it and pondered. And those are the type of sins that start slowly and increase if they're not checked. So tell me where, there's a few I can mention, but I'll let you. I'll try and be a rag doll, so don't be hesitant. Blurt it out. There is a phrase somewhere in the Bible where it says, in the sense of you live for your belly, basically just food. That caught me square. That gives you a start. And of course, I lied to the host as far as flesh was concerned. Because I said I don't want any more. And really, I did. Now, the separation, flesh and blood, did I stop? Did I draw back because of the fear of God? That's the point that really struck home to me after I was meditating. The fear of God. I wanted to be courteous. I wanted to be kind, modest. But still, you know children, most of you, modesty needs to be instigated, trained, and even us old people, as you can see from this story. Now, the key story I wanted to really embark on is, it can be very personal. I have a machine. I take it out, rent it out, and I take a tractor along sometime, and then I have to need a ride home. And I did that, and on the way there was another neighbor that had it the day before, and this machine fills the bags, and the plastic may not be ripped to make it successful. And I bypassed that, and I didn't have my patching kit along to fix that rip. So we went to this farmer and set it up, and then they have to give me a ride home. Whoever, sometimes it was him, and sometimes his son, sometimes his hired man. But this particular time, it was his wife. I thought nothing of it. And he sent me over to the truck and said his wife, he'll come out when she sees me in there. I sat in the truck, and then she came out. And this was a mind-provoking thing for me. I was scattered and bewildered. And she came out with slippers, white slippers, no clothes, only shorts and a few little something to cover the breast. I was beside myself about that situation. How do I act? How do I react? We drove down the road, and I guess that nature of me when I get into an odd predicament is get humorous. And that's basically what happened. And I could almost not stop. It was getting out of hand. Anyhow, we went down this road, and I told her, we have to go in here and patch that rip that I made. So we drove up there, and I went around the truck, kneeled down to the ground to fix this, tape this. And I was trying to get these corners in and tape it, and it was kind of a handful, but then she came out of the truck to help me. Came right up close beside me, rubbed her shoulder on my arm. I was speechless. I literally stopped, went back into the truck, and she too, we went home. I looked out the window. I didn't know what to make of it. She let me off at the sidewalk. I walked in, not a word. And I'll leave the rest of the story till later. Should I have coped? We all run into this. We can just as well face up to it. And temptation and sin, where does that stop and start? I pondered over myself. I better wait for an answer. How was I to cope? What would Jesus have done? When I walked in that sidewalk, I literally shook. Was I only in temptation, or was I actually sinning? Let's make it a little more point blank. I want you to tell me. Over the years, this was years ago, I had children, and over the years, I came to the conclusion where I stand. Well, basically, the conclusion I came to was I was ignorantly thrust into a situation and I had to cope with it. I do not feel I sinned. Whatever inspired in that process, I do not feel I sinned. But it was right on that line. We all run into it. If I would have fed it, and this goes for all of us, if we feed it, dwell on it, let's take Joseph for an example of old. I read that quite thoroughly, and he was ignorantly put into that setting too. He was sold as a slave, and Herod's top man bought him, and he lived in there with, he was came up to be top man in that setting of, and then his wife tried him, or not his wife, Joseph's wife, it's in Genesis 39. Between 7 and 12. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, innocently went in to go about his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me," and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. That is the way to leave. And another scripture says somewhere, cut off your arm or your leg or pluck your eye out. Do away with it. Now, the difference between that Joseph's incidents and my incidents, take David. He planned his things. Deliberately planned them. When you read that in Samuel, 2 Samuel 11, when you read that through step by step, he deliberately planned his sin. That's where I think temptation and sin separates. We are all tempted in 999 different ways through life. Now, this very topic merges in with modesty music and movies, like everything, when small things, they eat upon themselves or nurture upon themselves and arise to serious things. Did you have something in mind? Go ahead.
I was just thinking on the... the difference between sin and temptation. I have to think of... hearing messages where the word sin is translated out of four. In the original text, sin is translated from four different words. So that one of them would be deliberately walking into wrong. I'm not sure if I can say the four, but one of them would be just missing the mark of glorifying God. So just by failing to do what God would have us to do is a measure of sin. And I think in the original text, I think it brings it out clear, the different differences of sin, but I think they are all sin. Missing the mark, just failing to bring out the complete glory of God is sin, just as much as deliberately planning your sin. It is only when we view sin as that way that we can see the full holiness of God, I believe.
I have a problem hearing, but I think what I heard was right. Yes, there can be sin without planning it too. But usually, I would likely say sin, someone that dwells in whatever things that he's presented with, and dwells and increases, it'll just grow and grow unless. And that's why that scripture says in Revelations, to him that overcometh, I will sup with him and he with me. This is not just this type. Like, there's all kinds of pitfalls we need to be aware and watch. And I love Jesus' response in his three temptations. He said, "It is written," and he quoted Bible verses. Another huge thing we need to emphasize along this study is what is the biggest sin in God's eyes? I take it the biggest sin in God's eyes is not to have faith in God. If we have faith in God, from what I understand through the scriptures, there is reconciliation. Whoever comes back to God, he does not want anyone in hell. And we need to dwell on that while we're going such a delicate subject. We're all of the same clay. And then David, when he was presented by the prophet, his answer there, "I have sinned before God." There it didn't matter anymore what man thought and said and didn't. He literally acknowledged, "I have sinned before God." And those type of sins that bring the wrath of God upon us start with immodesty, with music, and with movies. I always thought television was one of the most educational things for sin that there is. There can be good things on it, there is no doubt. But the way it pollutes the mind. I'm back in Matthew 4 again in his temptation. Verse 6. And then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a peninsula of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But the way Satan came, he literally used the same tactics he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam. He saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give thee his angels charge concerning thee. Words fail me, but I get it. He was trying to assure him that angels will take care of him. And they will if we learn the word of God, teach it, or obey it, like it says in the first one, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Anyhow, in my situation, after that, just before I opened the door, I looked back, and she was driving out the lane past the sidewalk and had her head literally on the steering wheel. I went in and literally shook. And the first thing I did was blurt it out to my wife. Share it. It was feeble, it was humble, I didn't understand myself, I was beside myself. Had to be done. And then time went on. A year later, I sweated. How will this turn out? But marvel upon marvel, I never knew her before, and I hardly ever seen her since. There was something, I guess, God in his almighty power conveyed the fact what was happening, and he intervened. Now, one phrase I often, when I think about it, and I have said it occasionally, I cannot say I was totally free. It's not quite the word, but I can say God spared me. That I feel very confident. God spared me. And that's what real trust in God does. And I know that is not a biblical example, but it was encouraging for me. And when I think over my life, many people have been into the same challenge. And I don't want to say it in the sense that somebody that falls, there is lots of hope. Where there is life, there is hope. All that the Father giveth me, in John 6, of course, you know my precious verse, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Those are precious words for me. So my heart's desire is we would all strive on and work on those little things day by day. How we dress, what we watch, what we sing has a tremendous impact in what the future is. There is one kind of, it came to me, and I determined to do it. We are planning to have a meeting tomorrow night, and I'm going to do it publicly here. There was many times, Jonathan made statements that were absolutely true. My spirit wanted to blurt out, amen, amen. And I didn't. I apologize. I long to embrace sound leadership, sound biblical principles. I apologize. I'm sorry. I should have been more insightful, Yes, I don't want to make excuses. I don't want to make change blames. I wasn't aware enough. That statement there in the bottom, give Satan your finger, he will take your hand, soul, body and soul. That comes into so many areas. So strive on. I pray for forgiveness if I did not present it like it could have been. But nevertheless, I do want to do what is right, and I see that in this circle too. You want to do what is right.